Bell. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. I am celebrating gay pride in a moment when LGBTQ plus rights are under direct attack from the federal government and states, when hospitals are shutting down gender-affirming care programs, when trans people across this country are being told by their own government that they don't belong. Communities across the country are celebrating, are protesting, are gathering together in both large and small cities. I'm turning to New York City, which traditionally on the last weekend in June celebrates Pride. It starts Friday night at Tompkins Square Park with the Drag March. First held in 1994, it emerged out of the queer activist scene that gave rise to ACT UP, and it has spent more than 30 years growing into a wondrous and spectacular, joyfully resistant march that starts in Tompkins Square Park and marches to Stonewall. Then Saturday is the Dyke March. It was founded in 1993. It is an unpermitted First Amendment demonstration. And then the last Sunday in June was the 57th annual New York City Pride March. It is reported that there were over 2 million people in the streets. Leading them was Mayor Zohran Mamdani, who this month launched a public awareness campaign called Trans Rights Are Human Rights, created the city's first ever Office of LGBTQIA+ Affairs, and committed $15 million in city funds specifically for gender-affirming care, saying, and I'm quoting him here, "We will protect your rights, defend your humanity, and stand beside you without hesitation." What you're about to hear was recorded at last year's Drag March. The political moment was already urgent then. It's only gotten more so since. Here's what people shared with me on the streets of the East Village and why it still matters today. I'm on my way to the drag march to the convening in Tompkins Square Park in the East Village in New York City. I'm Sabrina. What's your name?
Sister Krista Fur Street.
Sister Krista Fur Street?
Fur Street, yes.
Well, very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And could you describe what you're wearing, your appearance right now for our listeners?
Well, we're an order of queer nuns. We've been in existence since 1979 in San Francisco. We originated here in 1989, and these are our habits. These are our cornettes.
Hello.
This is Sister Rich Claire, and she's wearing the white veil of a novice. And then I'm wearing the black veil of a fully professed member. I'm also the mistress of novices.
Okay.
And then we have visitors. We have a Sister Tearing Up Injustice.
Hi.
From D.C., and we've got Sister Smoke Ahanis from San Antonio. She's right behind her. This is Sister Sarah Problem.
Hi, all.
This is my daughter, novice Sonata Problem. And then we've got Sister Sharon Stoned. And I think that then there's more in the park.
All right. So I want to say, of course, this is fantastical and right over the top and just superb in every way from what you're wearing and walking down the streets. Of course, though, this is also a march that's going to go to the Stonewall.
Yes.
And the significance of
yes.
that in 1969.
Yes.
We can talk about Marsha P. Johnson. We can talk about...
Well, there are a lot of dates that stand out. And one of them was December 11th, 1989, during the Stop the Church protest at St. Patrick's Cathedral. That's when we came into being. So a lot of significant dates. But yes, Stonewall, absolutely. And, you know, whereas before in past years, sort of this is all fun and, you know, celebratory, now it's taking a darker turn, right? So it's still fun, but there's a purpose to this march tonight.
Can you talk about the purpose?
Visibility. We're here, we're queer, we're not going anywhere. The hundreds of executive orders that impact LGBTQ plus organizations, from SAGE, which serves our elder community, to New Alternatives, which serves our LGBTQ plus homeless youth. You know, funding has been pulled. As a result, you know, the Sylvia Rivera
Law Project.
Well, Sylvia Rivera Law Project, but I'm talking about the House for Transgender Women. They've gone from 12 beds to 6. They've lost a clinician. New Alternatives has to go elsewhere to find HIV testing. So it's impacting, it's really impacting us. And we need to say no, right? New York State, New York City, oh my God, it's such a blessing with Zora Mamdani. I mean, you know,
it's incredible.
A moment of safety, I felt. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. I'm Nora. Nora, hi. So we're here at Tompkins Square Park. The convening for the Drag March is happening right now. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people already, and it's about 45 minutes away from the actual step-off, which will go to the Stonewall. Can you talk to me about being here in support and what you're doing specifically?
I know. Yeah, this is my third year doing it. I was invited by Robert, who is one of the founders of this event, and it's just really great to, like, A, be able to be a part of it and be a part of this community. Like I was telling my friend, it's amazing how it seems like everyone here knows each other.
You were saying this is your third year doing this. And what is the this?
So this is pushing the wheelchairs. Every year they provide wheelchairs. We're at the end of the march and there's a lot of older people here, people in uncomfortable shoes. We're just here for if anyone feels like they need a break for the whole march or part of the march. Sit in the chair and we push it for them, and it is great. We get to talk to the people while we're doing it, like make some friends, feel like we're helping the community as well. It's really great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, Reverend Billy, Bill Talon, here we are at this drag march, and your work, you tackle so many social justice issues. What does it mean to be here right now, convening thousands of people right now in the park for this drag march to the Stonewall in the West Village?
Well, we're immersed here in a culture of generosity and trust and loyalty. It's not right to call it a subculture because it's a culture that is in a culture that hides this sensual gender life. These are the people that are willing to come out and be here together. But it's everywhere. Being a child of, you know, South Dakota and Iowa with Trumpers in my family, I feel so good being here. Just feels so good. The support. You can follow your star. You can be the eccentric. What's the center? The centric at this point is a dangerous place to be. You're much safer, I think, being here with people who are also following their stars and then supporting each other.
Reverend Billy, thank you. Madeline Olnick, Betsy Crenshaw. Here we are at Tompkins Square. You're marshaling for the Drag March. So what does it mean for you to be here and to be marshaling for this event?
Oh, well, it's a very joyous event, and it's actually usually pretty easy gig, and you get a lot of love for marshaling, so it's a win-win.
Madeline?
Yes, I have to say, it's for me the best Pride event always, because so many beautiful people in the march come up and just say thank you one after another during the march.
Well, and so what does it mean here to be, well, we could call it solidarity, you're part of this community, but in this moment?
Well, we all need to gather in community, as they say, I think, more than ever now. And so it's very fulfilling, very rewarding to have this outlet.
I'm so glad I'm here because it's such a special event, and it feels good to be standing and stopping traffic and in the role of protector for this march to happen.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Hi, Mike. I'm speaking with Mike Sullivan. Here we are at the Drag March. It hasn't stepped off yet, but oh my goodness, so many people are here. And can you describe what you're holding? I saw you walking down the street towards Tompkins Square.
I'm holding a mask at the end of a driftwood piece that I got in Cape Cod, and a ton of pheasant feathers and peacock feathers and ostrich feathers. And it can resemble both a mask and a totem and a scepter. and just a sculptural piece on its own.
And why are you carrying this for this drag march?
Well, I started making visual art because of how much I was inspired by drag and queer culture. So a long time ago, did my own kind of drag, but it was a version of this, you know, so it feels super appropriate for me to bring my current sculptures to the drag march because it was kind of the inception of what I'm currently doing.
This inception, being influenced by drag culture, can you describe what you mean by that? Socially, politically, also aesthetically? What are you referring to?
Yeah, all of the above, like you just said, that's like totally a good way of like articulating it. It's like kind of a crossroads of things. Like I have a background in theater, so I love theater, I love performing, and so also like creating outfits or creating things for people to wear and engage with is a passion of mine for sure. It's not necessarily just for me, but for anyone who's interested. Yeah, kind of politically, aesthetically, like I love the way you just put that. Thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. So now I'm wondering though, what politics, what kind of is the social sort of reality that you're engaging with when we're talking about drag and how you relate to it and what it means? And here we are in this moment, Gay Pride, end of June.
I think the biggest inspirations that I drew from the queer community is just the resilience to create through, you know, as many obstacles as we might be having, past or present or future. You know, there's a need to create, a desire to create, and that's not necessarily up for debate. That's like kind of just like part of, you know, part of engaging with, you know, the everyday is also like creating and using the materials that we have around us. And I think that's like that through line is the thing that has inspired me from the beginning and currently, where it's like just that desire and need to make and engage with the people around you and uplift them and contribute while also expressing. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of vast and it's endless in a lot of ways. So there's always a million ways to kind of articulate that kernel of truth, you know. I lived in New York City for a couple years and then I moved away, and it's always amazing to come back for that exact reason, for that like through line, that thread of, you know, communicating with others, creating with others, connecting. And I think that's like the general essence of what keeps me going.
Oh my goodness, look at this bus.
I know.
Behind us.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I love it.
Double decker costumes, rainbows, glitter lights.
Flashing.
Is there something particular to this moment that is moving you to be here even more and to share what you've been sharing about certain kinds of freedoms?
You know, being yourself never goes out of style. You know, it's like there's never not a time to do this. I mean, we could argue that it's more important now than ever to have fun and be joyful and create that vibrancy that we will always need it, you know, no matter what. And we'll never be able to have enough of it. You know, it's always, even in the good times, it's important to have it. In the bad times, it's important to have it. So, yeah, I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you for saying hi. Thank you for being here. Thank you for documenting people's voices. And I am honored that you said hello. And I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Kronquist.
Robert, so great to meet you. I know your work as an activist for many, many years.
I've been coming for many, many years, but I've only really been organizing for about the last 5 years.
And how did you get involved as an organizer for the Drag March?
Well,
And I was going to say, how does it connect to your other organizing you do?
Well, I just love the Drag March. It's the happiest time of the year, and it's wildly political in its being not political, just because look who's out here in the streets celebrating themselves. In Rise and Resist, I'm with a group called Rise and Resist, and in Rise and Resist, part of our mission statement is with all the joy we can muster, and there's no more joyous event than this. So I was one of the lead organizers of the logistics for the first Queer Liberation March in 2019, and so I got a taste for logistical organizing, and we approached Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS to see if we could do a march with best practices. Tom Viola very graciously gave us a grant of $3,500, which allowed us to get wheelchairs available upon request, ASL sign interpretation, and street medics. So it was given through an organization that I founded called Youth Arts New York, and Youth Arts New York. Our mission is to provide experiences in the arts, science, and civil society that engage youth in building a peaceful and sustainable future. And so we have college students primarily pushing the wheelchairs, helping them to understand what is the best practices for public events.
Yes, and so speaking of that, because you mentioned different kinds of activism that you have been involved with for many years in Rise and Resist, can you relate that back to ACT UP and to those years very specifically?
Well, I mean, the reason Rise and Resist is so successful is that so many of us came from ACT UP. I was peripheral to ACT UP because all of my life was devoted to teaching English at Jamaica High School, and so I couldn't be as active as some of the people here. But Rise and Resist is the most remarkable organization I've ever been a part of, and it's because of the experiences that people had with ACT UP, where they really know how to operate in a non-hierarchical cooperative structure.
And can you talk about why Rise and Resist was formed?
Well, it was formed in response to the Trump election in 2016, realizing what a disaster that human being is to the world. I came in a year after it founded. For five, six years, we were 20 or 30 people. Oh, we were ready to go. When it was time to scale up, we were able to scale up to 100,000 in 3 weeks.
The march is about to step off, going to the Stonewall. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Sigmund.
The march is stepping off. Tompkins Square Park, Avenue A.
Get ready, everybody.
I love you.
Hi, what's your name?
Sister La-Di-Da.
Sister La-Di-Da. So you just were part of this launch of the drag march. It's just beginning, crossing Avenue A, heading over to the village. So could you describe your attire?
My sister habit. It is an homage to the Statue of Liberty, as well as a famous poet by the name of James Broughton, who is also part of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and a perpetual novice, which is why I wear the white veil. Otherwise, I'm just rocking a little bit of Slutty Glinda, and of course, the trans colors in honor of our ongoing struggle for universal human rights.
So let's talk about this struggle in this moment. And of course, it's not a new struggle, but we're in a particular moment right now in the U.S. Can you talk about that?
Yes, unfortunately, it's not a new moment. A lot of it has a lot of the feelings of the Anita Bryant movement in the 1970s. And I think what's happened is a political animal has discovered a very lucrative way to target marginalized people and offer a false sense of unity to folks who are struggling and angry. Sister La-Di-Da of the Missionary Order of Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Thank you so much, Sister La-Di-Da.
Thank you.
How long have you been one of the organizers for the drag march?
About 26 years.
26 years?
Or seven, maybe 20, eight.
27?
A long time, since 1990.
Well, thank you so much. I know that you're right in the midst of this, but I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For sharing our stories.
You're welcome. So, hi, Mose. Please introduce yourself, and then I'd love to talk to everyone.
Hi, listeners. I'm Mo Angelos, and I'm so happy to be in fabulous drag with everyone out here today.
So, here we are. We are walking west. We are on St. Mark's Place.
No, we're on 9th.
Oh, we're on 9th. Oh, my gosh. Thousands of people.
Yep.
So you have participated in this drag march for a long time, even marshaled in the past. So what does it mean? Why are you here?
Well, I think it's my favorite march because it's really the message. The message is glitter and be gay. That's the message.
Glitter and be gay.
So you just get your drag on, whatever that means to you, and then you strut your stuff out here with everyone else just having a fabulous time being outrageous.
Well, and Mo, I need a little, you're dressed in a very glittery Western suit.
Yes, it got augmented. It's an old suit. And my friend Andrea put sequin, silver sequin lapels on, and I have like a silver Lurex tie that's like definitely from the 80s, and a fedora, and it's really fun. And I'm pushing my friend Lola Paschalinski here in her wheelchair. She is, say hi, Lola.
Hi.
Hi, Lola.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm Sabrina. It's great to see you. Of course, know your work of many, many decades. Thank you, Mo.
Sure. Thanks, Sabrina.
You're welcome.
Oh, hi. I'm Linda Chapman.
Linda Chapman. So here we are, apparently walking west on East 9th Street.
We are.
And you are dressed in you're marshaling.
Quasi-marshal. I'm a free agent marshal. Mo and I are pushing Lola here this evening, so we're taking turns, and when we're not pushing, we're helping along the way.
So, why this march? What does it mean? You've been in this march, right, for years.
I think this is our real neighborhood march. To me, it's real. It's pretty anarchic, and everybody can join in, whatever drag means to you, or not drag. It's always a joyful event, and it's a kind of a free-for-all, but a really loving and organized one. I love this march.
I love that. It's an organized, loving free-for-all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it is actually a permitted march, so there are police, but and we marshal. But it also, it's not, you know, we don't have any barricades, and we don't have a lot of rules. People can organize as they wish. There's, you know, not so legislated as some of our activities are.
Well, great points, Linda. And what about, you're bringing up love and kind of a free-for-all with this march and dressing up in drag, whatever that means. What about freedom? Does that come to mind?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? That we can be ourselves and be out here and be with each other. I also think right now a lot of us, the powers that be would rather silence us. So it's a kind of a joyful protest also, and a demand to give us our space, give us our air, let us breathe, please, and don't erase our history.
Don't erase our history.
Thank you. Thank you.
So taking control of the narrative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we're doing these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a wonderful project, the Five Lesbian Brothers, Lola Paschalinski, Carmelita Tropicana, John Kelly, who was just here, along with Ain Gordon, Ishmael Houston Jones. We have a LGBTQ+ archive project, artist archive project, that we're all working on together with, under the auspices of the Pickup Performance Company.
Fantastic.
And we're working on the archives of all these wonderful artists, and they're all still alive, and most of them are still making work. So the idea is they are telling their stories the way they want them to be remembered in history.
Oh, that is incredible. So important.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you, Linda. Anything else?
Just hello and love to everybody. Enjoy the weekend, please.
Thank you, Linda Chapman. Carmelita Tropicana.
So great, we're crossing.
We're
crossing First Avenue.
We are crossing.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
We're stopping traffic because drag is it. We're stopping traffic. Woo! Everybody's gay. Everybody's happy. I haven't seen anybody, you know, without a smile on.
Oh, Carmelita, I am seeing a lot of bubbles. Bubbles.
Bubbles.
Smiles, bubbles.
Yeah, so everything. We got people walking. We got people on wheelchairs. We got people everywhere. In every kind of, there was even a bike being ridden. It's great. Everything's fabulous. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
So how many years have you marched?
This is my first year.
And you live right here in the neighborhood.
Yeah, but I'm always out of town when this happens. So, you know, and I usually get the dyke march. So, you know, oh, look, there's Jackie.
Jackie.
Jackie Root.
The dyke march tomorrow.
Yeah. elated to be here. I'm elated because you're here and you're bringing it all over. I mean, you have a talk show that goes all over. It's international. Up in the Catskills.
That's right.
Very international. No, I am so happy. And, you know, we got different generations here. We got Lola Paschalinski, who's marching. We got Mo Andrews. We got Linda Chapman. And that's just a little bit. That's just our crew. But really, I mean, have you marched a lot in the drag march?
I actually haven't. And I've been asked to marshal over the years. But, you know, I'm upstate.
So, like
you, it's my first time.
I know. And so we're virgins. Oh, my God. We're having a really great time because it's our first time.
That's right. It's our first time. Well, Carmelita Tropicana, incredible for you to take your time to talk to me.
Oh, my God. Always a pleasure. Always.
Thank you.
Keep it going.
We are marching East 9th Street. We started at Tompkins Square Park. We crossed over Avenue A first. Now we're approaching 2nd Avenue, making our way to the Village. And there are so many people dressed up, having fun, being free. I'm Eli. It is so nice to meet you. There's dancing, there's joy, there's smiles, there's just an abundance of sequins and glitter.
Fringe. And illuminated moths and fluffy tutus and sparkle glitter and festivity.
Festivity. So what brings you to this drag march? Have you marched before?
Yes, I try and come every year. I'm trans. I am into nature drag, which is another form of drag that is neither king nor queen, but in search of nature kin, like horizontal, not royalty, but like other organisms, and freeing ourselves through letting ourselves be occupied by horseshoe crabs or moss or lichen or other life forms. But tonight I'm a skeleton in my human form of drag. I'm in flesh, human drag with my bones because it's my birthday. So I'm trying to celebrate my humanity tonight instead of my normal horseshoe crab outfit.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. My entry into drag has been through trying to understand how to find a way to practice drag that doesn't feel... I use they, them pronouns. I'm not looking to be a drag king or a queen. I'm really trying to unsettle myself by getting closer to the other life forms I'm connected to.
So to get closer to the other life forms.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a happy time here. Happy drag march.
Thank you. Happy drag march to you.
Thank you.
From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artell. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artell. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Wherever you go, take Radio Catskill with you. Stream your favorite shows, music, and podcasts anytime, anywhere with our new and improved app. Stay connected with local news and national headlines all in one place. You can even send us your thoughts with the Talk to Us feature, audio or video, right from your phone. No radio? No problem. Just press play. It's Radio Catskill right in your pocket. Download the app today on iPhone or Android.
This Week in This American Life. Stories for this year's July 4th semi-quincentennial. And yes, I had to look up that word. That means 250th. We have Jia Young Fan on the moment she realized what the most American question is. Pablo Torre on our very American love of yelling at refs and umpires.
So much of what going to a baseball game is like is using the airspace around you as this pillow you can scream into.